Good morning, church family. And good morning to those of you watching online and those out on the patio as well, out on the courtyard. When my youngest son, Cole, was 13 years old, the two of us went backpacking for his birthday, his 13th birthday. And we didn't go very far, just a few miles up the Ice House Canyon near Mount Baldy to a place called Cedar Glen. Some of you maybe been there. And through the years, I've camped at Cedar Glen dozens of times, going all the way back to when I was in high school at Upland High. And because my son was 13 and I was the adult, I carried a 50-pound backpack and most of our gear, and he carried a 20-pound pack that had just a couple of things in it. And so you can, I think we have a picture of him taking a break next to my backpack, which is almost as big as he is. And of course, he's the one lounging out, taking a nap. This was about 14 years ago, and my backpack was almost as big as he was, but that's what dads do, right? They carry all the gear. After a couple of hours, we got to the campground, Cedar Glen, and set up our camp. But as soon as we pitched our tent and got our bear bag hung up, I knew something wasn't right. I started feeling nauseated, and then weak, and then feverish. And I tried to lay down for a while, hoping that a nap would snap me out of it. But the longer I waited, the worse I felt. And by late afternoon, I realized that if we didn't leave right then, I might not be able to have the strength to make it out at all. And so by then, I was too weak from the nausea and fever, and I was dehydrated to carry my own backpack. And so my 110-pound, 13-year-old son carried my 50-pound backpack, and I carried his 20-pound pack. And we headed down the trail. And it was slow going because I was so sick. And he was carrying nearly half of his body weight in that backpack. And so we finally made it back down to the parking lot at the trailhead right as it was getting dark. And it turns out I was one of several people who had been at an event the night before who ended up with food poisoning. They said it was bad guacamole, apparently. Now, my son Cole is 27 years old now. And he loves retelling that story. Gets more dramatic every time he retells it because it was a significant moment for him of his transition from childhood into young adulthood. We sometimes use the phrase, pull your own weight. Sometimes someone who pulls their own weight is someone who works just as hard as the other people in a group. And we often use this phrase to talk about the workplace. Someone who's not pulling their own weight at work is someone who's slacking off and letting all the other people compensate for their lack of effort. That person skates by while everyone else has to work a little bit harder. Someone who doesn't pull their own weight forces everyone else to pull their weight for them. But pulling our own weight also applies to our relationships with people, our relationships with our friends and with our family, with our neighbors and with the people in our church community. To make and keep healthy connections with other people, we need to learn to pull our weight in those relationships. Now, we're in the fourth week of our five-week series called Combating Loneliness. Levels of loneliness have been steadily rising in the U.S. since the 1980s. Last year, the Surgeon General declared that isolation and loneliness are a public health epidemic here in America. Chronic isolation and the feeling of loneliness makes us more susceptible to heart disease, stroke, mental illness, and a variety of other health issues. Chronic isolation and loneliness have a similar impact on our health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Why are we so isolated from each other? And why do we feel so lonely? And we can certainly point to factors like social media and political polarization and more people living alone and fewer people getting married that have all contributed to it. And certainly the pandemic during COVID-19 put these trends into hyperdrive. But isolation and loneliness run far deeper than cultural trends. And so we spent the first few weeks of this series in the first three chapters of Genesis in the Bible. We saw in Genesis chapter 1 that God created us for a relationship with God and for meaningful connections with other people. This is part of what it means to be created in the image and the likeness of God, of the triune God. And then we saw from Genesis 3 that sin ruptured our relationship with God and that the fallout of sin in our lives makes it difficult for us to create and sustain meaningful, godly connections with other people. But the good news is that God sent his Son into the world to reconcile us back to God and to begin healing us from the effects of sin so we can once again begin to learn to make and sustain meaningful connections with other people. But this healing of the effects of sin is a process that requires spiritual and emotional and personal transformation within ourselves. Last Sunday, we got practical and we saw how to connect with people who are other than we are. We saw that all of us as people tend to be drawn towards other people who are just like we are. But the Christian community we saw from 1 Corinthians 12 is like a diverse body of many different kinds of people. Each person is a unique member of this diverse community. And to make and sustain meaningful connections with people who are different than we are, we need to learn some new habits, like learning to value differences, rely on other people's strengths, and protect their vulnerabilities. Today, we're going to look at how to pull our weight in our connections with other people. From Galatians chapter 5, it's just a brief verse, Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 through 5. So if you're able, would you stand for the reading of God's word? Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. You can be seated. This brief little section from Galatians shows us three ways that we can pull our own weight in our relationships with other people. And if we don't pull our own weight in these three areas, we'll find it very difficult to make and sustain meaningful connections with other people in our lives. And as a result, we'll find ourselves isolated from other people and suffering from feelings of loneliness. But as anyone who's ever lifted weights at the gym knows, you have to start light and then work your way up to heavier weights until you start meeting your goals. And so as we look at these three ways to carry our weight, consider how you might start light where you are and begin to work your way up. We all start out as lightweights, but we work our way up to being heavyweights when it comes to pulling our own weight in our relationships. So I'm actually going to go in the reverse order of these verses. I'm going to start from verse 5 and work backwards to verse 2. So the first weight we see, which is a weight in verse 5, is the weight of responsibility. The weight of responsibility. Each person should carry their own load, says Paul. The Greek word translated load in verse 5 is the Greek word phortion. A phortion is a load that is heavy, but it's able to be carried by a single person. And the word own here means that there is a load that uniquely belongs to every single person. We each have our own unique fortion, our own unique load to carry. And that load is unique to each person. On my backpacking trip with my son, I had a 50-pound pack. That was my fortion. That was my load to carry that day. He had a 20-pound load. That was his fortion, his load. And we are each responsible to carry our own load. In the book Boundaries by Christian authors Henry Cloud and John Townsend, they comment on Galatians 6:5, and they say, everyone has responsibilities that only he or she can carry. These things are our own particular load that we need to take daily responsibility for and work out. No one can do certain things for us. We have to take ownership of certain parts of our lives. That is our load. Or as Bible scholar William Hendrickson puts it, responsibility for carrying our own load cannot be transferred to anyone else. We will be accountable to God someday for each carrying our own load. Now, as it relates to connecting with people in our lives, what exactly are these responsibilities of our load that we're to carry? And here's a couple of thoughts. We are each responsible for our own emotions. If I'm feeling angry or anxious, distrustful or guilty, that's my emotion to own. My emotions are mine. They're not anyone else's. I'm not responsible for other people's emotions, and they're not responsible for mine. Those are mine to own. We are also each responsible for our own mistakes, sins, and misstakes in life. No matter how spiritually mature we may be, no matter how long we've been walking with Jesus, we still sin. In fact, the Bible puts it this way in 1 John 1:8, if we say we don't sin, we're just deceiving ourselves. And this is why we confess our sins often before we celebrate communion each month when we're gathered together, because we all still sin. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says that the equality of the human race consists in our universal sinfulness and our common need for forgiveness from God. The church is first and foremost a community of sinners who need God's grace. We sin in big ways and in small ways, in ways that have major consequences and ways that don't. And our sins, our mistakes, are our own. We can't blame them on other people. We can't look to extenuating circumstances. We can't say the devil made us do it. We are responsible. We are also responsible to do our own part to seek and sustain our relationships with other people. Relationships are a two-way street, and for a connection to be strong, both people have to pull their weight. You see, relationships must be mutual. They can't be one-sided, at least not for the long term. There may be one-sided relationships tend to be unhealthy, exhausting for the person who's pulling both people's weight, and unhealthy for the person who's not pulling any weight at all. And sure, we might go through a crisis in our life where one relationship tilts to one side for a while. Like my 13-year-old carrying my heavy pack because I was sick with food poisoning. But in healthy relationships, they will eventually even out. And they might tilt to the other side for a while. Being responsible is a weight to carry. Cindy and I were having dinner with her 25-year-old son, and he said during dinner, he hates adulting because it's so hard. And it is hard. And I was tempted to say, get ready, it's just gonna get harder. But that didn't seem like an encouraging thing to say. Because he's learning to carry his own weight of responsibility. We are each responsible to carry our own load. The next weight to pull our weight in our relationships is the weight of self-awareness. Verses 3 and 4 say, if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. Have you ever met someone who thinks that they're all that? I look back at how I saw myself as a pastor when I was in my 20s and my 30s, and I cringe now. Because back then, I believed I was destined for pastoral greatness, writing best-selling books, leading a huge church, having my teachings broadcast around the world. I really thought I was something. And the church I was pastoring at that time was growing pretty rapidly, and so that just kind of fed into it. And don't get me wrong, God was working, and some of that work was through me, but sometimes God's work is despite us rather than because of us. And looking back at my 20 and 30-year-old self, I was really full of myself back then. But life humbles us, doesn't it? When I went through a divorce 17 years ago and had 3 years of therapy in the midst and after that, it forced me to take an honest look at that self. And those painful realities led me to, as this passage says, test my actions. And as I became more self-aware, I began to see some ways that pride had infected my heart, ways that I had put the church and ministry before my marriage. And it wasn't a pretty picture, but it was an important part of my growth in self-awareness. And I'm sure there are still many more things I need to learn about myself. Self-awareness is important if we want to make and sustain healthy relationships with other people. Organizational psychologist Tasha Urich talks about this in her article for Harvard Business Review. The article is called What Self-Awareness Really Is. And Dr. Urich says that research suggests that when we see ourselves clearly, we are more confident, more creative, we make sounder decisions, we build stronger relationships, and we communicate more effectively. But Dr. Urich goes on to say that the vast majority of people see themselves as very self-aware, but her studies indicate that only 10 to 15% of adults actually are. Most of us have a long way to go in growing in self-awareness. Several years ago, two psychologists named Charles Left and Harrington Ingram developed a tool to develop self-awareness. They called it the Johari window, with the word Johari, a combination of their two names, Joseph and Harrington, that's all it means. And the Johari window suggests that our knowledge of ourselves divides into four different quadrants. The first quadrant, in the upper left, is our open self. That consists of the things that we know about ourselves and the things that other people know about us as well. This is our public self, the attitudes and behaviors and motives and values and way of life that we visibly live out. This is our open self. The next quadrant in the lower left is our hidden self. This is the part of ourselves that we are aware of, but that other people are not aware of. We all have a hidden self. It's our private self, our inner experiences and motives and secrets that we keep to ourselves. This is our private self or our hidden self. The next quadrant in the upper right is our blind self. These are the things that other people know about us, but that we are oblivious to, that we don't see about ourselves. Maybe other people experience us as attention-seeking, but we have no idea that we come across that way. Or maybe other people experience us as intimidating or aloof, but we're not aware that people experience us that way. Sometimes we call this our blind spots, and everybody has them, this blind self. And then the final quadrant in the lower right is our unknown self. This is our unconscious, the motives, attitudes, that we're unaware of, and that other people are unaware of as well. These are the parts of us that only God knows and understands. When people use this tool, they say that the more we open ourselves to honest feedback from other people, the more our self-awareness will grow. Receiving honest, sincere feedback, non-defensively from people, increases our knowledge of ourselves as we discover how other people experience us. And as we do that, our first quadrant gets bigger and our third quadrant gets smaller. And the more we find safe and appropriate people to share our hidden self with, the more self-aware we'll become. This is why people go to therapists and counselors, pastors and spiritual directors, why I meet regularly with a spiritual director. In fact, we're meeting tomorrow morning. This is why people in the 12-step movement have sponsors as part of their recovery. Finding appropriate and safe people to share our hidden self with increases our self-awareness. The first quadrant gets bigger and the second quadrant gets smaller. So I hope you can see how important growing in self-awareness is to building and sustaining connections with people. The people who are the least self-aware tend to be the most isolated from others, and as a consequence, often experience the most loneliness. The third weight in this passage is the weight of showing love. The weight of showing love. Verse 2 says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Notice the tension between verse 5 and verse 2. Verse 5, each person must be responsible to carry their own load. But here in verse 2, we carry each other's burdens. Paul uses two different Greek words in those verses. As we already saw in verse 5, he uses the word phortion, which describes a load that's heavy, but it's able to be carried. The word burden in verse 2 describes a burdensome, exhausting load. The Greek word is baros, something that's too heavy for a single person to carry alone. A backpack is a phortion, a refrigerator is a baros. And some burdens are more like refrigerators than they are like backpacks. They're too heavy to carry alone. And when we try to carry them alone, it can crush us. And we all have those kinds of burdens. You have them, I have them. Paul says that bearing each other's burdens fulfills the law of Christ. The law of Christ is the way of love. At the Last Supper, Jesus said in John 13:34, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you in that way, so you must love one another." And Jesus didn't just teach about love and command it, he lived it. He showed love to those who've been broken by sin and failure and regret. He lifted up those who have been ignored and trampled by others. He gave of himself, ultimately giving his own life as a demonstration of the law of love. Showing love is a weight to bear in our relationships. When a person is bearing a heavy burden, love doesn't criticize that person for having the burden. And love doesn't just stand by and see if anybody else is going to step up to help. Love steps up and steps into the situation and seeks to help that person shoulder that burden. It's not easy learning to live by Christ's law. It's counterintuitive sometimes. It's the opposite sometimes of how we've been raised or taught. Sometimes the opposite of how our churches have operated. But if we want to create and sustain meaningful connections with other people, we'll learn to pull the weight of love. That backpacking trip with my youngest son when he was 13 was a major rite of passage for him. We both realized that he could carry far more weight than we thought. Now, whenever we go backpacking or go hiking, I give him the heavy pack. About 4 years ago, I pitched a new idea to my four sons. I said, instead of getting me a birthday present every year, go camping with me for my birthday. And so we started a tradition of an annual birthday camping trip. That would be their gift to me. And the very first one we did, here's a picture of us 4 years ago, on our very first annual birthday camping trip. And guess where we went? Cedar Glen. And it was so good watching my four boys, all now adults, each carry their own load, but also bearing each other's burdens. One had a sore knee, and so the others offered to take some of the things in his pack and carry it for him. One was pretty out of shape, and so we went much slower. so we could all stay together. And of course, all along the hike, as we hiked up there, my youngest son, Cole, had to retell the story of carrying my pack down the mountain 10 years earlier. And I think in his retelling, he was carrying my backpack, his backpack, and me down the mountain. And each year since then, for the last 4 years, our annual camping trip has grown. Last year, one of my stepsons went and my stepdaughter's boyfriend, and we even took two of our dogs with us. And it's one of the greatest highlights of my year, that annual trip. Loneliness and isolation are an epidemic today. But if we want to be part of the solution, we need to learn to pull our weight in our relationships. And today we've seen that pulling our weight in our relationships means being responsible for our own load, growing in our own self-awareness, and learning to love with Christ's own kind of love. And that doesn't happen overnight. It really takes a lifetime. We start light, like my son with his 20-pound pack. But as we learn to pull our weight in our relationships, often by trial and error, we find that we can carry far more weight than we ever realized, because that's part of what it means to grow as a disciple of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these words of scripture and the challenge that it gives us, Lord. Father, all of us have room to grow. We were made for connections with others, Lord, but so often we avoid those connections, or we sabotage them, or we sin against each other and hurt each other. So Father, help us begin to carry our weight, even as we start light and build up, Lord, that we might grow into the loving community that you've called us to, that we might grow and become the kind of disciples of Jesus that you want us to be, Lord. Father, thank you that you, through your Son, carried the greatest load of our sins to the cross, and that you bore that burden for us to heal us from the effects of sin, to reconcile us back to you, and to enable us to begin to grow in our community with one another. God, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.